Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today is the end of my second week teaching on how to fulfill your destiny. And I tell you, I have covered a lot of materials already. I really feel in my heart like God is using this teaching to really stir up some things on the inside of people. You know, if this doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. Amen. You need to just put some effort into this. If nothing else, you know, record the program or get these products and go back over this. Because I tell you, most people do not know for certain that they're doing what God called them to do. And there is no way for you to accidentally fulfill your destiny. I've already covered a lot of materials. Let me mention again that I have this four CD set on how to fulfill your destiny. And then we have this new Destiny Stories Volume 1, where we are using testimonies of graduates from our Charis Bible College who are now just changing the world. Powerful, powerful testimonies. And so please get hold of these products and use them to encourage yourself and stir yourself up. And also, this is a great way to share these truths with someone else. I started sharing yesterday that Romans chapter 12, Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2 are the verses that God used to change my life. I was seeking to know what God's will for my life was, and for about 18 months, this had just been the focus of my life. And then the latter part of Romans 12, 2 says that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. It was saying that if you'll do the things stated in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, the first part of that second verse, then you will prove, make manifest to the physical senses what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And God just spoke this to me that this is it. Do this, and you will discover my destiny for your life. So from Christmas of 1967 until March the 23rd of 1968, I was just constantly in the Word, specifically meditating on Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Yesterday, I began to break down some of the things that the Lord showed me out of this verse. And the very first thing it says, by the mercies of God, He was beseeching them to do this. This is actually for your own good. Most people are taught that God, following God is hard on you. Well, certainly there's hardships that go with it. I wouldn't be telling you the truth if I said that everything in my life has just been easy. You know what? It's hard to follow God on your flesh, but it is so rewarding in your inner man, in your spiritual and emotional part. I guarantee you, I wouldn't trade anything that I've done. I've been kidnapped. I've been threatened to be killed. I've been maligned. I've been spit upon. I've had things happen to me, and those are the things that people have done to me. And then you have all of these other things about, man, it looks like you're going to fail, and I'm jumping off the deep end. And I've had a lot of things happen, just the same as everybody else has. I'm not saying that it's been worse. But I'm saying that, you know what, it is nothing. I wouldn't trade what I've done. I wouldn't trade where I am, where I'm going, for anything. I tell you, it's well worth it. It's by the mercies of God. And here's what He said, that He besought them to present their bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This isn't just for ministers. This isn't just for full-time, clergy. I really kind of dislike this distinction that a lot of churches make between the laity and the clergy. Like there are some people that are special and anointed and blessed of God, and then there's the average Joe Blow that you just can't expect to have God's power in your life the way that a full-time minister does. This is your reasonable service. This is for everyone, every one of us. It's not just a minister that's supposed to be seeking God and praying and listening to God and expecting to have God move in their life. If you've been born again, every one of us are ministers. You may be out in the marketplace, but I guarantee you we need Christians that are absolutely sold out, living sacrifices, full of the power of God in the marketplace. We need politicians to be Christians. We need godly people in there helping change the way things are being done. We need godly lawyers. We need godly doctors. We need godly people picking up the trash. Amen. You know, there's a friend of mine who tells about a friend of his who, in a Bible study, he said that he was called to pick up trash. He felt like that was his calling. And I know that a lot of people would think, oh, no way. Well, somebody's got to pick up the trash. I mean, what if we had no trash collection? Have you ever seen these things where the people that collect the trash go on strike? And I mean, the whole city comes to a halt and the trash is piled up in the streets. And I mean, it poses a health hazard. Somebody needs to pick up the trash. And this one man was saying that that was his destiny. He felt called to do it. He did it with a good attitude, and he gave testimony after testimony after testimony of people that he would meet, and he would just say something positive to them and bless them and tell them God loves you. And as he collected the trash, and people were saved and people were born again, God called him to that. I know that some of you, this is a new wrinkle in your brain. You think that only the ministers, only the president, only the somebody who's in a great leadership position is called by God. But you know what? There's people that God calls to run television cameras so that I can make television programs. There's people that God calls to do these things. It takes a group effort. We need people out in the marketplace. Every one of you, this is our reasonable service. This is for Joe Blow, Christian, Jane Doe, Christian. Every one of you need to recognize that this is not just for the selected few. This is our reasonable service. You know, one translation of this verse says this is the normal Christian duty. This isn't abnormal. This isn't just for those who want the doctorate in their Christianity degree. This is for every person. You know, I really feel like God is speaking to me, through me, to people right now. And there are some of you that you have just kind of pushed this aside as, well, I'm not a minister. I don't have to give myself 100% to God. That's not true. You need to be given over to God. I don't care what you are doing. I don't care what your job is. It doesn't matter if you think it's insignificant or not. It is the normal Christian duty. It's your reasonable service to be a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Jesus died for you. The least you could do is live for Him. I tell you, we have presented a cheap Christianity to people, to where we just basically say it's all about getting your sins forgiven so that you won't go to hell. And certainly that is a major part of what Jesus came to do, was to deliver us from hell and grant us entrance into heaven. And that's wonderful. I'm not saying that that doesn't exist. But when you present that as all that there is to Christianity, there are people who come and they get their sins forgiven because they're afraid of going to hell. They don't want this punishment, but they have never yielded themselves as a living sacrifice. And so there's a lot of people that to them, this isn't basic Christianity. They think basic Christianity is just getting your sins forgiven. I'm saved and I'm going to heaven and I'm going to do my own thing and live the way I want to right now. And they see this as being a living sacrifice and totally committed to God as exceptional. And this is only for those who want to really, really, really be fanatics. No, this is for everybody. Actually, this is the way salvation should be presented. In the 10th chapter of the book of Mark, I won't take time to go over there and read all of those verses, but I believe starting around verse 17, you find where the rich young ruler came to Jesus, and he was demonstrative. He knew that Jesus was important. He was willing to suffer the ridicule of being associated with Jesus, and he ran and fell at his feet and said, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" But Jesus knew that he wasn't sincere. He knew that there wasn't this total commitment, a living sacrifice. And so you know what Jesus did? He said, sell everything you've got. Give it to the poor. Give away all of your money and then come and follow me. And the man went away sad. You know, that's strong. That is preaching a commitment. If churches were to do that today, just imagine that on Sunday you go to church. This coming Sunday, a couple of days from now, you go to church. And the pastor gets up and gives an invitation and somebody comes forward and the pastor goes up and says, you know what, I don't think that you're willing to give everything to God. All you're wanting is your sins forgiven so that you won't go to hell. But are you willing to commit everything? And they say, sure I am. Says, well, prove it. Sell everything you've got. Sell your house. Sell your car. Sell everything. Give it to the poor. And then come back and get born again next week. I guarantee you there'd be a scandal. That pastor would be kicked out of the church. people would cry foul. And that is exactly what Jesus was saying. Now, he didn't say that to everybody. Matter of fact, a man named Nicodemus was a very rich man. Jesus went into his house and Nicodemus said, "I'll give away half of my goods. And if I've stolen anything from anybody else, I'll give it back to him four times what I stole." Jesus didn't tell him to sell everything. Matter of fact, this is the only person he told to sell something. I'm not saying that God literally wants everybody to sell everything and give it away, but God does want you to be totally committed to Him. And if you are unwilling to yield yourself to God and you're only going to accept the forgiveness of sins and get an insurance policy so you won't go to hell, but you're going to live your life just exactly the way that you want to, you know what? That's not the Christianity that Jesus promoted. This isn't just for the super saint, for the full-time minister. This is for everybody. This is the way it should be for each one of us. See, these are some of the things that God began to start speaking to me. When God gave me this verse and God spoke to me and says, you've got to do these things to prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You aren't going to see God's will come to pass in your life with one foot in the gospel and one foot out, with you just half-heartedly serving God. It's not going to happen until you get ready to make yourself a living sacrifice and commit yourself to God with everything you've got. If you aren't willing to turn your life completely over to God and give Him everything, talking about career, talking about all of your lust and your desires, maybe you really want to do this, and this is what you've always wanted to do with your life, but you feel God wants you to go in another direction, and therefore you just can't bring yourself to follow God. You aren't a living sacrifice. You know what? A sacrifice isn't giving any commands. They aren't giving any orders. They are there. They're there to die. You have no choice. It's not you running the show. You are totally at the mercy of another person. And you know what? The average person, the natural, carnal, fallen nature is fearful of giving anybody or anything that type of control in your life. And there are some of you watching this program right now that it just literally scares you to think that, man, you would turn your life over and let somebody else rule it and run it, tell you to do things, even if it was to your own detriment. That's exactly what you need to do. That's exactly what a sacrifice, a living sacrifice is. You've got to make a decision that, God, you're in control. And regardless of what the consequences are, I'll follow you. See, this is what God began to show me through these verses. And it was a progression. There was about 4 months I meditated on this. I had a major encounter with the Lord, March the 23rd, 1968, to where all of these things I'd been meditating on and praying and God had been drawing me towards culminated. And I mean, I ran up a white flag. I submitted myself to God with everything I had. And nearly immediately, God began to start leading me in ways that could have just looked terrible. One of the very first things, God led me to get out of school. And at that time, this was during the height of the Vietnam War, and there were student deferments. As long as I stayed in university, then I had a deferment. But when God told me to quit school, and when I quit, within, I mean, weeks, I got a letter to go report for a physical. These recruiters come to my house and try and get me to sign up, and eventually I was drafted and sent to Vietnam. And you know, by following God's will and leadership, by being a living sacrifice, when God told me to go this direction, I did it. It looked like it could have killed me. I was shipped to Vietnam, and you know what? There were some hardships that went along with that. I was separated from my family. I was separated from all godly influence. I was in a place I didn't want to be. I didn't volunteer. Now, I wasn't a draft dodger, and I wasn't one of these that complained. I was over there, and I was going to serve my country, but you know what? I wasn't real excited about it. There were some things that were hard, but you know what? Looking back, it was one of the best things. It was the goodness of God. Man, this was my Bible school. I didn't go to a formal Bible school. But when I got into Vietnam, there was so much ungodliness and sin. And the pull of the devil was so strong on me that I literally just had to stick my nose in the Bible anywhere from 10 to 15 hours a day and study the Word to survive. And it turned out that that was one of the best things that ever happened to me. When I went to Vietnam, I was a Baptist. And when I came out, I didn't intend to not be a Baptist, but my theology had changed because I'd gotten so strong in the Word of God. I'd started believing in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, miracles, and I just changed. It was one of the best things. I look back and it was the mercy of God that He was leading me out of that. Praise God I didn't become a math major and get a teaching degree and get involved in just being a teacher like every other single person in my family has been. Nothing wrong with that, but that wasn't what God had for me. And as I began to start following God, God literally started pushing my life in a direction that I would have had to have backslid on God to keep from being where I am today. Man, I don't know if you understand the importance of what I'm saying here. It takes effort to get from where we are to where God wants us to be, but it is not the kind of effort where I am making God do this and I'm kicking the doors down. My effort is to be a living sacrifice. My effort is to rest, to trust in God and not move out of that and not get into my own understanding, not do things my own way. That's where the effort is. And as I stay in union with the Lord just supernaturally starts moving your life and directing it. And I can promise you that I would have had to have literally rebelled against God to keep from doing what I'm doing today. God has just supernaturally made it come to pass. Things have fallen into place supernaturally. Yes, there's been effort, but the effort is for me to just maintain my focus on the Lord and my commitment to Him. God has supernaturally ordered things. And I really believe that that's what these verses are saying. You make yourself a living sacrifice. You commit yourself to God and God will start showing you things and leading you and you'll start taking steps. And once you start taking these steps, you start a snowball process. Things just begin to start snowballing and pretty soon you are right in the center of God's will and you don't even know exactly how it came to pass. But God can work all things together for His good. He can make things work out in your life. But it really begins with you making this decision that I'm going to be a living sacrifice. If you aren't totally committed to God, if you aren't sacrificed, if you haven't died to yourself and your own will, and if you're doing your own thing and just asking God to bless it, you aren't going to find God's perfect will. You need to honestly get into a position where you put everything on the table. Nothing off of the table. And you say, God, here's my whole life. Here's all of my aspirations, my dreams, my goals. Here's everything I am. Here's my house. Here's my income. Here's everything I've got. And it's all yours. If any of it isn't in your plans, take it. If it is your will, then strengthen it and help me. But you are willing to give up anything. You're willing to move. You're willing to follow God. You're willing to do whatever. And you can't take anything off of the table. You got to put everything there, a living sacrifice. You can't be a partial sacrifice. You just got to be a living sacrifice. You got to be totally committed unto God. That is the first step in proving the good, the acceptable, and the perfect will of God. And it's a necessary step. It's like the bottom rung on a ladder. You know, you want to get up to the top of this ladder, but you can't just jump to the top of the ladder. You have to start at that bottom rung and you have to take it step by step by step. This is the first step. If you aren't willing to take this first step, you can't miss this. You can't get around it. And this is precisely the reason. I'm saying this in love, but this is precisely the reason that most people watching this program do not have an absolute assurance that you know God's destiny for your life and that you're fulfilling it. You may have a desire for it, you may pray for it, but you don't have an absolute assurance that you're doing exactly what God called you to do. And the number one reason is because you've sidestepped this issue and you haven't ever become a living sacrifice. You're doing your own thing. And you may be asking God to bless it, and it may be a good thing, but not everything that's good is God. You know, in my own life, there's so much that I could be doing. I see other people doing these feeding programs where they're feeding the hungry. That's good. All of these humanitarian things are good. And I do that through other ministries. I support and I help do that. But you know what? That's not what God called me to do. And some people may take offense at that and think, oh no, you're supposed to do everything good that you possibly can. If it's good, do it. Nope, not everything that's good is God. If you want to kill a man's vision, give him to. Delude him. Get him going in different directions. See, the strength of a laser lies in the fact that all that light is concentrated into a pinpoint, and that's what allows it to have this energy and power. But you diffuse it, and it doesn't have the same effect. You got to be focused. What has God called you to do? Not everything that's good is God. What is God's destiny for you? And the only way you can get there is to become this living sacrifice and say, God, here's everything. I'm holding nothing back. No restrictions. God, if I'm going 180 degrees opposite from the direction you want me to go, I'll turn my life around. I'll give up anything. And I can show you, there's a number of times that God asked me to do that. That example about quitting school, which meant losing government support, which meant getting drafted, which meant possibly being killed in Vietnam. The Lord, when I quit school, you know, I got a job working, and I did so well that the guy offered me a position that would have been like a management position in just 6 months' time for a college dropout. What a great opportunity. Money, income, guaranteed retirement. When I was only 18 or 19 years old, I had all of these things offered to me. And you know what? That wasn't what God had for me. I turned it down. And some people look at that and think, man, what a foolish decision. You know what? What I've got right now is much, much better than I'd have ever had working for the Arlington, Texas public school system. But see, I didn't have the benefit of hindsight. I just had to trust God. And it's turned out that by the mercies of God, this is just our normal Christian duty. It's best for all of you. You can't get to the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God without first of all becoming a living sacrifice. That is God's will for every single person. And I'm telling you, unless you do that, unless you start here at this bottom rung on the ladder, the first step, you'll never get to the second step. Why would God reveal step number 2 to you, or step number 10, and show you ultimately what He wants you to do if you're unwilling to do the first thing, to be a living sacrifice? All that would do is, if you somehow or another stumbled into God's will by chance or whatever, and found God's purpose for your life, but if you weren't a living sacrifice, then you wouldn't be doing it in God's power and under His authority and ability. You'd be doing it in your own human ability, and you'd blow the whole thing. What if somehow or another I'd got onto television and I'd become a preacher, but I wasn't yielded to God and I hadn't got the revelation that He wanted me to have? And if I was just up here preaching the same things that everybody else is preaching and not ministering the true Word of God and countering our religious traditions, it would be to no avail. The real point is you got to be a living sacrifice, and then everything else comes out of that. And the very reason that many of you haven't known for sure what God's will for your life is because you aren't a living sacrifice. You are running your own life. You are self-dependent, self-motivated. You need to become God-dependent. I just pray that right to here today, that you would make a decision, that you'd humble yourself, that you'd yield yourself and just say, God, I want to be a living sacrifice. You know, I've got a lot more to share on this, but I'm going to have to continue it on our programs next week. So I encourage you to listen in then, but also please get the materials that we're offering. These will really help you. It'll make a difference in your life. So call or write today.
We're happy to announce that Destiny Stories, Volume 1, is now available. Contained on one powerful DVD are the stories of real people who dared to believe that God had an exciting destiny for their lives. You'll be inspired and transformed as you hear their stories. Destiny Stories is available for a gift of any amount. Request DVD T3006D. Andrew's teachings played a central role in each of these destiny stories. Today, we're offering Andrew's four-part teaching titled, How to Fulfill Your Destiny. This teaching will help you discover your God-given destiny and teach you to walk in it. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1051C or DVD album T1051D when you contact us. Your gifts help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. The second teaching in the CD album titled, Becoming a Living Sacrifice is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this second teaching free of charge. Request teaching THT120C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Again, that number is 719-635-1111. Or you can reach us through our website, where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
You know, I know that God really spoke to many of you today, and that you've been brought to a place where you're willing to make this commitment. You need to pray and just do this between you and the Lord personally, but also, I'd like to offer our helpline to you and ask you to call in. There are people there that have made this commitment, that they are a living sacrifice. They know exactly what you're going through. They can pray with you. They can help you. Also, they can send you these materials. We can speed them to you if you call us. So we have that phone number on the screen, and I ask you to call and let somebody ask for prayer. Let someone pray with you and just make the prayer, the decision that you are going to be a living sacrifice to God, and I guarantee you, you'll never regret it. That's your reasonable service.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. He'll be in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth seminar June 11th through the 13th, in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference June 29th through July 3rd, and in South Africa for a Gospel Truth seminar July 21st through the 23rd. He'll also be in Durant, Oklahoma, July 30th and 31st, and in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth seminar, August 6th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. Anna has a heart to reach the lost, but she needs help getting started. Sean feels a call to the ministry, but he also feels unprepared. Ben and Maggie have been Christians for a long time, but in their golden years, they want a deeper relationship with the Lord. Are you like Anna or Sean or Ben and Maggie? If so, take the next step. Call, write, or go to our website and ask for the Charis Bible College brochure and DVD. Andrew Womack founded Charis Bible College to help you discover your destiny. There is joy and fulfillment awaiting you, the kind that only comes from knowing you are doing what God created you to do. Take that first step today. Call, write, or go to the website and ask about CBC.